And so in that spirit, I invite you to join with me in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for the ministry of music. We give thanks for the ways in which your Spirit can touch us through the arts in ways that nothing else, including human words, can. Help us, O God, to be able to see in our everyday lives the beauty that you offer and the beauty that there is in knowing you. Amen. Well, I don't think it's any news to anybody in this sanctuary that the book of Revelation is probably, if not the most, one of the most difficult books to read and understand. It's probably downright weird to a lot of people. For those of you who have tried to dabble in reading the Bible, I know that there are some of you who have avoided, like the plague, this last book of the Bible, and for good reason. And for those of you who have not opened up the Bible to really kind of see what's going on in there, the book of Revelation is probably a good reason why you would keep your Bible closed, right? And yet, this book, as scary as it is, this book has had more than its share of contribution to our culture. I think of, just to mention a few, Dante. I think of the poet T.S. Eliot, William Blake, not only his poetry, but his art, his drawings. Ray Bradbury, John Updike, my favorite. But then again, what's his name, Gidden? No. The guy who did the lyrics with Handel, he picked a lot of passages from the book of Revelation in the Messiah. In our hymn book, Battle Hymn of the Republic, based on imagery from the book of Revelation, just to mention a few. My suspicion is that there's a couple reasons why most of us avoid it. For one thing, there's all that weird symbolism in the book of Revelation, 7 this and 12 that and 4 horses and all that stuff. And what does that have to do with anything, right? And I've seen these books, volumes of books in which people make charts and try to scope out all of the dates and details of what is going to happen and all of that sort of thing. And it kind of gets me scared, for that matter. For some, the subject itself, the purported end of the world, is scary in and of itself, especially considering the things that we have to face in our world right now. Our Friday night, the Love Does group met on a Friday night at Karen's house, and one of the questions that Jason posed to us as the leader is, what are some of the scary things that we face now as a culture? What's the scariest to you of the things that we face now as a culture together? And the book of Revelation brings that up in spades. And yet, this is just me talking to you, I would contend that the book of Revelation wasn't written to foretell the end of time as much as it was to unveil the truth about the challenges that were facing churches at that time, and about God's presence with them through all of the challenges that church was going to have to face. I believe that the goal of the book of Revelation is to invite churches to move out of Babylon. That's the term that's used in the book of Revelation all the time. To move out of Babylon and to move In other words, to move beyond the powers of this world, that you're not necessarily controlled by all of the factors that are in this world. There are some factors, some transcendent things that are even more important than the culture in which we live. And that when you do that, you're able to look into the very beauty of God, using the words from the hymn or the anthem today, into the beauty of the city of God. And the beauty of God's city, I want to tell you, is not just about the pie in the sky when you die. That's not just what the book of Revelation is about. It's also about that hint of that pie that we experience in our lives right now. The sense of the flavor, the hint, the possibility, the beckoning there of God with us, and those hints of the kingdom that we experience right now in our life. That is also the reality of the book of Revelation. A life that can bask in God's presence and love right now. Not just at the end of time. And not just at the end of our lives. Barbara Rossing, a biblical scholar who I think teaches at the Luther Seminary in St. Paul, whatever that's called now. She says, the New Jerusalem is a welcoming city, not a gated community. That's a pretty good phrase. The New Jerusalem is not a gated community. It is a welcoming city. Because, you know, you look to there is the reference to the gates of the temple in the book of Ezekiel, the prophet. And when you compare that, there the temple gate was shut. So the scriptures say, so that nobody could enter it. But the vision of the 12 gates in the book of Revelation, the vision of those 12 gates, it says, are perpetually open. It's not to keep people out. It's a place from which to invite people to come in. A teacher of mine said that all too often there are those people who invite others to their faith by saying something like this, welcome, but you have to come in through my gate, meaning you have to come through what I believe, how I understand things, and the faith I share with you. But that's not the story, that's not the idea, that's not the theme of the 12 gates of Jerusalem that the book of Revelation shares. Because here, in the book of Revelation, is a vision of that ideal city with 12 gates in which there's a way of being able to say, a symbolic way of saying here, that we may all have the same goal in mind, but there's more than one way of getting there. We may all have the same goal in mind, but there's more than one way of getting there. But there are those occasional hints of those 12 gates of Jerusalem. My message today is intended to be a very brief message. That's my intention. But I also want to just share or lift up for you a little bit about our ministry here. And this is something I'm sort of reluctant to do, only because my saying something will mean I don't think of everything. So what I would have you do is, if you want to look now or take it, I would ask you to take it home, the bulletin today. In the back of it, there's about what has happened this past year at Crossroads Church. Take a look at that. To me, one of the most cool things about Crossroads Church is that part in the bulletin every Sunday that lists the volunteers, what things that are being done by people to make our worship happen. And Tressie has the master list that she organizes in the office, and it's such a huge graph with such small boxes. It means to me that it's not just up to me to be here. It's we all have a part. Even what happens on Sunday morning, we all have a part and a role that we can play. That's part of that vision of those 12 gates, in which God uses the ways and gifts that God has blessed each one of us. Those Sunday volunteers. We have a great group of staff and ministers who help with me to help direct the church here. Tressie and Bill and Carly. Chris is working with me in the area of worship and worship planning. And Irene is working with me in the area of welcome. And also, in a little bit I'll mention something else also she's working with me on. We have a very strong leadership board. I do want to mention that there are 5 new people joined the board this past year. There's room, I believe, for 3 more potential persons who are willing to serve on the leadership board. And I think that one of our youth member, Gabe Murray, is, God forbid, going to be graduating this year. And so that means that we have an opening for youth. Now, I got to tell you, a lot of churches that I've served have not really even thought that much about having a youth in a leadership position like that. On a committee once in a while, sure, but not on a leadership group like that. And so I give a lot of kudos to Crossroads for their willingness to do that. The 12 gates of Jerusalem is a way of saying that God has a way of saying that everybody is invited to be a part of this kingdom of God. In other words, if there's a will, there's a way, as far as God's concerned. Right now, as many of you know, and Doyle is going to speak a lot more to this after our worship today, in the United Methodist Church, we are struggling of finding ways of fully including the LGBTQ community in the life of all of our congregations. This church, at least to my experience and statements from others, has been open to that. And your pastor is as well. And what the future happens in our denomination, we do not exactly no, because the General Conference will be meeting, I think, in Minneapolis this year. And we may find ourselves opposed in some ways. But what I do want you to know is that what we go through as a congregation, I want us to do together. I want us to be able to talk to each other. I want us to be able to share with each other. The decisions of this church are not reached by a decree from either the leadership board or even from myself, for that matter. I have my philosophy. I have the way in which I operate. And there are places that I will not go as far as excluding people. And if it were a matter of that, I would not be and will not be your pastor. However, I want us to be in conversation. That's the way the church needs to be. And I hope that the conversation can continue. And because I want to hear from all of you. This year, also, and this is more in conjunction with Irene and her work with me on the welcoming part of our church family. It's come to, and Irene has shared this with me, it's not my brilliant idea, but it's really Irene, to the realization that it's easier for all of us to invite someone to share in a serving event, like say the Thanksgiving thing, or working for a project for web, or helping at the Frank Allen School. It's easier to invite somebody to do something like that, oddly enough, than it is to come to worship. That's, I don't know about you, but for a lot of people, that's scary. Isn't it? To invite somebody to worship? You may have done it, but I think a lot of people don't. And so what we're thinking of, especially in terms of welcoming people, as offering places where we can all serve. And that's really one of my hopes for this congregation in the long term. And that is that we realize that our purpose here as God's children is to be of service and care for other people. Why? Not to get new members, not to have people come here. That's not the purpose for doing it. And if you do think that, if you think that inviting somebody to come and for them to become a new member, that's the reason why you do it, that's not right. And don't do it, because you're actually going to hurt more than help. Do something, serve, invite out of genuine love and care for that person, and for no other reason. And allow God and God's Spirit to do the rest. Last Friday, again, at that Love Does meeting, sorry, Jason, I'm bringing you up a lot. I want to thank him especially. What's that? Yeah, so far. But I do want to thank you for leading that group. And the pizza was great each time also. But one of the results of that gathering, I don't know if there were 10, 12 people there that evening, was to meet again. And in the meantime, that group is thinking about ways in which they can make a difference in people's lives. They mentioned specifically things like serving at Frank Allen School. They mentioned specifically the web organization, the food pantry, and so forth. And they also mentioned the Wanakee Neighborhood Connection, but didn't commit to any of them because we're going to talk about it. We're going to pray about it. And then they're going to come together and decide what to do. As a matter of fact, they even talked about Mr. Steinle raised systemic issues, more serious issues about the systems in which we live, and if there's anything that we as a church can address to make people's lives better. That is something I would like us to think of more and more as a congregation, not as a way to get to heaven. We're not earning our way to heaven. I want to be very clear about that. But simply because of the witness that our faith gives to us because of what we've experienced in the love of Christ. That's, in and of itself, enough, I think. So, how can you help? I would say as much as anything else, be open to grow in your faith. Serve others, not for any response of theirs to join the church or anything like that. That's not the point of it all. But to serve as a witness to what this faith is all about. Friends, God wants to find a way in which each one of us can find a gate through which to go, so that we can all know and experience the beauty of the holy city. Amen.